Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today, we're going to talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs. I'm going to give you my take on who's the best teams in the NFL. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Alabama Crimson Tide toward the end of the show. First, I want to talk about the Cleveland Indians. They beat the Toronto Blue Jays again 4-2. And this is a very interesting series. Cleveland's up 3-0. Mike Napoli starts the game off with a double to right. And this is interesting because they jumped on Toronto. They know Toronto's a wounded tiger, so they Terry Francona, who has experience, they got 2 championship rings, had them jump all over the game. Their pitcher Bauer left the game with a lacerated finger. His finger was bleeding, so they're kind of screwed up pitching-wise. But it doesn't matter because of the fact that they get good pitching from Dan Otero, who comes in. And he gives up a homer to Mike Saunders to tie the score in the second inning. But in the fourth inning, as soon as they tie the score, here comes Cleveland to put doubt back in Toronto's heart. As Mike Napoli home run, took the home run, 420-foot home run to center field. But then the Blue Jays tied the score. So now there's hope that Rogers Center is rocking. But then Jason Kipnis hits a home run to right. And that once they scored that in the sixth inning, in my mind, I'm like, that's game. Because they're going to put Andrew Miller in. They're going to put in Wade Miller, and that's going to be it. And Ramirez singles to right to bring in Napoli, who stole second, surprised the Blue Jays to take a 4-2 lead, and they put in Wade Miller first. And I'm like, you better get to him, because Cody Allen. They put Cody Allen in the game, who was their closer. But they didn't do it that way. Francona switched up because he realized that Andrew Miller was more lights out and put him in the closer. Andrew Miller is unhittable right now. With a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and a slider. And the slider's nasty, so you got to set up for the slider. But then he'll throw the 95-mile-an-hour fastball by you. It's just that's something you don't want to see. In the future, as the future opponents, the Cubs and the Dodgers, they don't really want to see that. I expect the Cleveland Indians to close them out. And Toronto has never led in a series. And I think because Toronto has a lot of talent, but they're a mentally fragile team. When they started out game one and Bautista got a double and Donaldson didn't score and they didn't score, that was the end of the Toronto Blue Jays. It was that simple. The Cleveland Indians riding on Cleveland's, their city magic carpet ride, got a roll. They feel like this is their time. And I can see the look on Toronto's face. It was the same look I saw on Boston's face when they were in Cleveland. And I knew they were going to be in trouble, but I thought Toronto would get game three, and then Cleveland may get a game in Toronto, but no. Toronto was shooken. And once Cleveland got the lead, Toronto, in their hearts and minds, they knew they had no chance. And you could tell. Toronto has struck out 34 times in this series. 25 of the first two games in Cleveland. And they're just swinging at balls. And the Indian pitching, which is good, has done the job. They're not the best hitters. They don't have the best lineup. But it's a clutch lineup. You know, they're getting what they have to get. You know, the line of Chris and all batting 400. Coco Crisp is not the best hitter in the world. But he's a gamer, so he's batting 400. So you're getting clutch hits. And then you have Jason Kipnis, who didn't have a hit in the first two games, hits a home run. He was looking for his first hit. He gets a home run, a much-needed home run. And they do what they have to do. Now, as far as tonight's game with the Cubs and the Dodgers, I actually believe this is a really interesting game from the standpoint that Rich Hill, a former Cub, is pitching against Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta is a better pitcher. I believe the Cubs are a better team, but the Dodgers play hard. They have a great manager. They're home. They play terrific at home. And I got it. This is about The Cubs are a little better talent-wise, but this game is about what's between the ears of the Chicago Cubs. Are they going to carry that curse into Dodger Stadium? And then if they do lose Game 3, then there's a suffocating pressure. Then Game 4, you don't want to lose Game 3 and 4. Then Roberts could push Kershaw back to Game 6. And then it's a fully rested Kershaw. You want to have the series tied where Kershaw has to pitch Game 5, so you don't have to see Kershaw until you're fortunate enough to get a Game 7. He can come in relief, but then there'll be 2 days rest. Maybe you can finally get him, but you don't want – if you're the Cubs, you want to try to get Game 3. That's between the ears. It's totally between the ears because Anthony Rizzo's batting 0-43. That is a bad look. Okay, we have a caller. Hey, it's the Coast to Coast Radio Show.
Hello, how you doing? This is James Friday.
How you doing, Mr. Dodgers fan?
I'm doing well. Well, I'm a Dodgers fan.
Go ahead.
I'm a Dodgers fan, but I want you to know that just because of you, it's okay if the Cubs win.
Well, I'm going to tell you the only way the Cubs win. I think the Cubs are a little better team than the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are just the feistiest team, Dodger team, with the most heart they've ever had because of Roberts. This is the key. What is between the ears of the Chicago Cubs? Can they get Game 3 so Game 4 is not suffocating pressure? Or Game 5 is not, oh, my gosh, the curse. If they have a way and they take care of business Game 3, it relieves some of the pressure because now you know at least you could get back to Chicago for Game 6. They have to get one of the first two games because then that forces the Dodgers to pitch Kershaw on 5. You don't want the Dodgers to have Kershaw on 4 days rest of you or they'll be in major trouble. I just believe it's between the ears of the Chicago Cubs. In their hearts, are they going to play their game and play to their potential, or are they going to be thinking about the curse?
Yeah.
They can say it's not, but it's there. It's the elephant in the room, and what happens? It's fascinating. I'm excited as a Cubs fan to see if they can take on the challenge of going into Dodger Stadium is very difficult. Forget what anybody, all the lies anybody tell you. The Forum, the Staples Center, when the Lakers are playing good, and Dodger Stadium is very difficult venue because those fans are very, very loud. Forget the lies that they're laid back. They're not laid back in the playoffs. Trust me. As a person who has rooted for Lakers, and you too, and you live with the Dodgers, it's a very difficult place to win.
Yes. I have confidence in Chicago's manager, though. I like the leadership.
I do too.
And I believe that I don't know how quickly you can get it into young players' heads, the magnitude of a moment and how not to let that shrink you. Because they're, you know, one of their greatest assets is their ability to hit. And I think that what happens a lot of times is if you're not comfortable at the plate in a pressure situation, that stick seems to turn into a toothpick. That bat, you know, it seems like it gets harder to hit, you know?
Oh, definitely.
But
definitely.
I like
but you, yeah. Yeah, you have to have a guy like a Javi Baez who's immune to pressure, who loves the moment. And I think that's what saved Chicago in the Frisco series. The only difference that Frisco and Dodgers, the Dodgers, Frisco, you can't strike them out because they're contact hitters. That's annoying. You can kind of strike out the Dodger hitters, but you better watch out for Gonzalez.
Yes. I am totally surprised at the grit. I've never seen a Dodger team with that much grit since, like, Kirk.
I have never.
You know?
I haven't seen this since Lasorda. And this guy, I don't know about this year, but you're going to win championships with this manager and with Kershaw going in the future, whether it's this year or next year. You have championships ahead of you because of this guy. This guy is a straight tough winner. He brought back that 1980s spirit of Lasorda that the Dodgers never had.
Right. And look at what he's done for Kershaw. I think Kershaw has been dynamic. He has been a little fragile in the postseason, although all of that's not his fault.
No.
Because you can see what happens sometimes when you take him out, you know. But the thing about it is that, to me, he has – there's something else in his arm this year in the playoffs. There's something about him that's different, and I believe it starts with the manager.
It does. It definitely starts with the manager, how tough-minded this guy is. You know, before I go to the next caller, you're a Raiders fan. I think Coach Del Rio and Coach Tom with my Pittsburgh Steelers should get a pen and paper, get on a conference call with Nick Saban. Don't just listen. Call and sit there, be ready to receive, and ask Nick Saban, how do we beat teams we're supposed to, and how do we take care? Teach us killer instinct, because if you ever saw Alabama, they're merciless when they play an inferior team. And that's why Pittsburgh and Oakland have losses on their record now.
Yeah. And Del Rio's second question needs to be, do you know a good defensive coordinator anywhere?
Oh my gosh, you know, when you're young, so it's a process. But you know what? Denver is kind of shaky with his quarterback situation. So Denver and Oakland are going to be fighting for that division. And everybody in the AFC has underachieved other than New England. But you never know. It's a long year. You want to be peaking in November. I'm going to tell you now, that's going to be the key.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to let you go. I do my show Friday, so we're going to find out where the Dodgers and Cubs are Friday.
Oh, that's going to be good. And I'll be texting you in between, buddy.
No problem. Okay. He's a West Coast caller. I mean, he's from Virginia, but he loves Dodgers, Raiders, and Lakers. But I want to do my in the NFL. I want to do my top five this week. Number one is New England, of course, with Brady, and then Belichick, and Martell Spinner has infused extra offense, and you know, Amendola and Edelman. They're clicking also. They'll run the ball, but they probably don't have to. The AFC's a mess. They usually play like cowards on the road, like I thought. And then Ben's going to be out a couple weeks. Buffalo's coming on a little bit. The Ravens are rebuilding. They're still pretty good. The Broncos, like I said, their quarterback, I like New England. I like Dallas as number two. Minnesota, number three, they're undefeated. Seattle, number four. And Atlanta, number five. And Seattle beat Atlanta in an exciting game, 26-24. They basically shut down Devontae Freeman, and that was big. He had 12 carries for 40 yards. The Legion of Boom is picking up defensively. They had one breakdown where Julio Jones scored on them, but for the most part, they did what they had to do. And I felt like Richard Sherman did pass interference with Julio Jones, but they missed it, and I know their coach was furious. But you had no business throwing deep on third and nine and fourth and nine. You threw deep twice where you could have – Ryan could have ran on third down. They could have ran an underneath pattern somehow to get up 15 yards to keep the drive going. They really messed that whole drive up. And Seattle pulls the game out. And those are the kind of games you win. The only reason I have Dallas at number two because they really destroyed the Packers, 30-16. Aaron Rodgers looked really – something's wrong with him this year. But it was Ezekiel Elliott, 28 carries for 157 yards. Dak Prescott is – solid numbers, 247 yards passing, three touchdowns, one interception. But they're efficient. They're playing downhill, and it is affected. Their offensive line is so superior that it has made their defense good. I still don't know how good their defense is. I mean, but if I paired them up, and the reason why I have them number two right now, not winning seasons because I don't know how that's going to go. I believe if they played right now, they would beat Seattle. They'd beat Atlanta. They would beat Minnesota, and they would beat all the teams on that. If Seattle, Atlanta, and Minnesota, they would beat. And that's why I got them number two. They would not beat the New England Patriots because Belichick would not allow them, Ezekiel Elliott, he would take the run game away and would dare Dak Prescott and would be disciplined enough for Dak Prescott to have to go down the field. He would give up the bomb to Dak Prescott. We haven't seen him throw that yet. That would be the only reason why they would not beat New England at all. So I do have their number two because they beat everybody else. Everybody else, as of October 18th, the Dallas Cowboys would defeat. And I also like that. I do like how Jason Garrett's coaching the team. He's looked at their strengths and he's looked at their weaknesses. Dak Prescott doesn't go down the field, but he doesn't have to. When you're getting punched in the face in the running game, and then Alfred Morris, he didn't have a great game this week, but he's come off the bench to spell Ezekiel Elliott. Terrence Williams is starting to pick it up. Cole Beasley's solid, 6 receptions for 58 yards. When you're getting punched in the face constantly by the Cowboys, it affects you because of the fact that now you could play action because now you're setting up for the run, and now you could go underneath. I mean, if he had an arm to go deep, Dallas would be completely unstoppable. But just want to see a team. I don't know if it's possible. Maybe a team like the Seahawks that will just come in there and be physical and not let Ezekiel run crazy and then Dak Prescott as well. And they have Russell Wilson who will put pressure on Dallas' defense. But if they play now, Dallas could get them. But I got to see more. But I'm impressed enough to put them at 2 for now. And then there's a drop-off. I just don't. You know, the South has the Texans at 4-2. They're very shaky. The Titans are rebuilding, and they're coming on a little with Mariota. Jacksonville's coming on a little bit. The Colts, they have Andrew Luck, and then they have players, and they have a bunch of players who aren't really that good. And their general manager and their president should really be under fire. I understand their coach's under fire, but you do have to give the coach some talent, for goodness sake. Man. And the Raiders are coming on. They had a bad loss against the Chargers. The Chargers could be like 5-1. They blew a lot of games. They didn't blow the game to the Raiders. That kept them actually in the Chiefs beat the Raiders. And the Chiefs are 3-2 after that disastrous game against the Steelers. And Andy Reid always has the Chiefs hanging around. And Denver, Oakland, and Kansas City are going to be fighting. And I think Tennessee 6-9-7 gets the division. I think Denver's going to struggle a little bit with their quarterback situation. Both Trevor Siemian and Lynch are young. They're talented, but they're young. So you have to give them time. The Bills have right the ship. I think the Bills are going to beat up the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins had their one great game. And you have the teams that are kind of lousy. If they have a great game, the following week they really don't have the fight and emotion. And I think the Bills are playing Miami at the absolute perfect time. And the Bills should be 4-5-2. The Patriots should beat up Pittsburgh. But, you know, it's weird because when they're a wounded tiger and they have a backup quarterback at home, they play a lot better. So I think there's a chance they could cover the spread. I think the spread will be like 14. They could give the Patriots a decent game for 3 quarters. I said 3 quarters, so if they pull away the 4th quarter, don't get on me about that. But Cowboys fans are really crawling, which they should. They're celebrating. They look like a really solid team. Now, no rookie quarterback's ever taken a team to the Super Bowl, so I don't know if they do it wrong. They can't really play them now. Dak is solid. Dallas, I'm curious to see their schedule because they have beaten some lousy teams. I don't know how good Green Bay is right now. The Bengals should be better than they are, but that was a great win the way they destroyed the Bengals. They have talent. They got the Eagles. They're going to beat the Eagles. And then they got the Browns. They should beat the Browns. And Pittsburgh, it depends on if Roethlisberger, they are rusty. That's a toss-up. They should beat the Ravens at home. They should beat the Redskins at home. I think they're going to lose to the Vikings, and they're going to lose to the Cowboys. They should beat the Buccaneers and Lions at home. They should be 12-4, 11-5, I don't know, 13-3-ish in that range. Oh, we have a Cowboy caller. Lo and behold. All right. Daddy Crawler. Preach the gospel according to the Cowboys.
Eyes have not hit, Eyes have not seen, neither ears have heard.
Where's my bar?
What is in store for these Cowboys? Listen, we are the truth, right? Come on.
Yes.
Come on. Come on, we are the truth.
Well, you're the number two. I got you at number two in the NFL. I did my top five. I mean, how much more do you want?
Yeah, but I know for a fact that you were a believer.
No, no, I wasn't. I'm a believer now that this is a playoff team. I'm still
uh-huh.
a believer in the Giants, and I'm a believer in the Cowboys. So I do. I still think the Giants are going to make a run to the division, and if the Giants can beat the Cowboys again, that'll be the tiebreaker. So I'm still holding hope for that. But the Giants have to play a little better, and they have to get to Dallas' level. Dallas is a higher level right now.
Yeah.
So that's
well, I was looking for I was looking at our schedule ahead, and I think our most challenging game over the next four games will be the Eagles.
Do you see
that way?
You're beating the Eagles. You're beating the Eagles. No, yeah. no, please.
But you're that's going to be our most challenging game.
Yeah. Your most challenging game will be the Giants. The Vikings. At the Vikings, November 1st. That's a tough game. At the Giants, it will be a tough game. Don't you lie to yourself. That Giant game is going to be tough.
But we are about to go on a four-game winning streak.
I got you at 13-3. 12-4 or 11-5. It is all according to that Viking. If you beat the Giants, then I got the Giants beating them, my friends.
Yes. Well.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll see. If I admit, it's going to be a tough game. But just as the Giants came to Dallas territory, and they stole the game from us because we really
still counts as a W. You know.
Yeah.
But they
steal
another one.
Yeah. Well, we're running on all cylinders right now.
But I will tell you this. I'll give you some real good advice. You do want to be peaking from November 1st on. You want to be playing your best football in November, mid-November to December. You're only peaking now, and then you struggle. You shouldn't because you got some cookies at the end of the year. You have a couple tough games in the middle, but the Buccaneers, the Lions at home. I think the Eagles could beat you, but it might not even matter. That's the end of the year. You might already have everything sold up. You might not even need that game.
Yeah. But we're definitely going to make it past the first round this year in the playoffs.
We'll see.
Take that to the bank.
I will say, I mean, when December comes and you call in, I look at the whole sample size of what I see from the Cowboys and see who's healthy, see if you're healthy, make sure everybody's not hurt, you're 100% healthy, your line is healthy, because your line is so extraordinary, it makes the defense good. I like the defense, I still don't know how good the defense is, but the line is so good that you're punching people in the face offensively, that your defense is not even on the field that long, which is a good thing.
Yeah. We have that 1-2 punch now. We got the run game going for us, and we have the passing game. Just like in basketball, you got the Batman and Robin. We have the Batman and Robin. So we got Dak.
Well,
got
you have a solid passing game. I have yet to see an opponent slow your run down where it forces Dak to throw deep. I haven't yet seen that. And if he has that plan B, then you're ready. I got to see, like, for instance, if you had New England on the schedule, you're not running on New England. If you think you are, it's not running on New England. And then your Belichick's flooding the zone. So you would beat New England by a deep passing because he'll give up the bomb because he doesn't think that Dak is strong enough. He's going to take your strength away and dare you to come at your weakness. Now, if you run to another coordinator like that, we'll see. But I'm looking at your schedule, and you got some cookies. The Browns.
Yeah,
me
too.
Now, I mean, the Ravens are French at home. The Ravens are a tough-minded team, but – you know that they can't. They're not gonna be able to handle no Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a
you know, but
that's
the Eagles.
A gift.
You know the Eagles are reeling. I tell you, they're still young, so the Eagles are, to me, they're an 8-8 kind of team. They're not calling it the Dallas for Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That is not happening, my friend. I can guarantee that. I guarantee wins and losses and being wrong. I'm guaranteeing the Dallas win of the Eagles, my friend. I can give you that. I got to almost congratulate you on that. You know.
I got a question for you.
Huh?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Jets and their quarterback situation? I seen something last night. Are they giving up on
Fitzpatrick?
This
is what the Jets should do. If they mess up and they don't believe, they should play Bryce Petty the rest of the year. And he's not the answer. At the end of the season, get on the phone, call New Orleans to see what they can get for Breeze. If that doesn't work, get on the phone and call Tim Beard and be like, what can we get for Philip Rivers? I'm giving you traffic. They're a quarterback away from being a lot better. They're talented, but they're going to struggle because their quarterback play is so important. So important.
Yeah,
you know, but it's a long year, man. These teams that the certain teams that might be 4-2 and 3-3 might get hot and make a run for the Super Bowl. I'm gonna wait and see. I tell what it is right now, and the Dallas Cowboys are number 2 over everybody else, and New England's number 1 over Dallas, and Dallas is number 2. Does that sound you like that?
I'll take that for now, because we need to.
You
be
take it for now. Take it for now.
You know. I'll take that for now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you go. And then Monday, when the Cowboys beat up on the Eagles, if they play them, do they play them this week? They play the following week. So after they beat up on the Eagles, you could preach the gospel according to the Cowboys.
Okay. All right.
All right. Before I go, I want to talk about Alabama destroying Tennessee 49-10. Jalen Hurts. I mean, when it was 21-7 after Hurts' 45-yard run, Nick Saban was mad because they could have tacked on more points. And I guarantee you he was in that locker room saying, there's going to be no Tennessee comeback. Or everybody's running laps. Because he's demanding. And that's why Alabama has 5 national championships in 8 years. There's no let-ups. There's a killer instinct in this team. They have 19 touchdowns off of non-offensive plays. And it happened again as they had a return for a touchdown. And then Eddie Jackson had a 79-yard punt return. Why are we punting the ball to Eddie Jackson? He then had punt return after punt return for a touchdown. What's wrong with these teams? And Tennessee should be fine. Tennessee actually is a good thing. Because if Florida loses and Tennessee runs the table, they have an easy schedule. If Tennessee can run a schedule, they could see Alabama again. If they take care of business, go to South Carolina, win, go to Kentucky, I mean, have Kentucky and Missouri at home, and Vanderbilt could be tricky. If they win all their games and Florida loses to like a either Georgia, because Georgia lost to Vanderbilt, Georgia could beat Florida, and Florida could lose to Arkansas, Tennessee could see Alabama again, and they could learn from that 49-10 beatdown and maybe play a little better, and who knows. I think Alabama's going to run the table. They're going to beat A&M. But we'll see. I'll talk more about that when I do my college football show Saturday.